John F. Kennedy Library, President's Office Files, Presidential Recordings Collection, Meeting Recording Number 33.2, a recording of the meeting between President Kennedy and the Congressional Leadership held on October 22, 1962, after 5 p.m. The meeting is already in progress. The complete recording is 54 minutes and 16 seconds in length. 18 seconds of this tape have been excised for reasons of national security. The three excisions are indicated. This meeting continues on recording number 33A.1. For additional information, see recordings log number 33.2.
To a new location difficult to determine by surveillance methods. The three IRBM sites containing 12 launch pads still seem likely not to reach full operational readiness until December. However, emergency operational readiness for firing some of the IRBM missiles might be reached somewhat earlier. In addition, there are 24 primary surface-to-air missile sites in Cuba, of which we believe 22 are now operational. There are also, we believe, three coastal defense missile installations with surface-to-surface cruise missiles of about 40-mile range and 12 missile-launching patrol crafts, each craft capable of carrying two surface-to-surface missiles with an effective range of 10 to 15 miles. Finally, we know that about 40 MiG-21s, an advanced model Soviet supersonic interceptor aircraft, and 20 IL-28s, a Soviet jet bomber with a range of about 1,500 miles, have been delivered to Cuba. Amid all of this buildup of military strength, evidence of the presence of nuclear warheads has been carefully sought, needless to say. We have found one and possibly three of what appear to be nuclear weapon storage sites. We cannot produce evidence to show that nuclear warheads for these missiles are in Cuba, but we are afraid firm evidence on this point may never become available from intelligence resources at our command. The warheads could be in Cuba in concealment or temporary storage without our discovering it. Nevertheless, since the medium-range and intermediate-range ballistic missiles are relatively ineffective weapons without nuclear warheads, we think it prudent to assume that nuclear weapons are now or shortly will be available in Cuba. Mr. Lundahl is here, and he has some of these photographs. With your permission, Mr. President, I'd like to display them.
Gentlemen, I would seek to very briefly summarize in graphic form the statistics which Mr. McCone has shown to you. Starting from the west end of the Cuban island, the medium-range ballistic missile launching sites are at the following positions: MR1, MR2, MR3, MR6, which was discovered later, MR4, and MR5. These missiles shoot over 1,000 miles, are mobile, rapidly put into position, and fire from launcher erectors. After we've summarized the graphic in symbol form, I would seek to show you a couple of the photographic examples which firmly support the conclusions drawn. The intermediate range ballistic missiles are where the red dots are shown. IR-1 here, IR-2 here, IR-3 over here. These shoot 2,200 miles, which covers all of the United States except the Pacific Northwest, which I think you can readily gather from this chart up here. This is a 2,200-mile ring, this is a 1,000-mile ring, this is a 700-mile ring. In addition, there were sighted for you surface-to-air missiles, which were the first of the defensive forces being built up in Cuba. These are symbolized by the black dots that go completely around the perimeter of Cuba at these locations shown, a total of 24 of them at the present time, six missiles at each position, high altitude firing. Of these 24, 22 are operational right now. In addition, we found at this point on the coast at Banas, where the red triangle is shown, and then again at Santa Cruz del Norte, and here, and then again at the Island of Pines, cruise missiles, short, stubby winged missiles, which are primarily used in attacks against shipping, short range, 30-odd mile type of affairs. In addition to that, in the center of the island, at Santa Clara Airfield, we have found approximately, exactly so far, 39 MiG-21s, which are the equivalent of our F-106s. We call them fish beds or delta wing fighters. Very, very high performing aircraft. In addition to that, at the far end of the island, at San Julian Airfield, we have found unloading at the present time IL-28 aircraft, Soviet-designated Beagle, jet-light bombers. I think, must assume that all 21 of those crates is going to debouch one of these craft, but as of the last date of our coverage a few days ago, just one of them had been assembled, the fuselages for three or four were being put together, and the other crates were being emptied at that time. We have also found at the locations where the arrows are shown, the red arrow here and the red arrow here, what look like good possibilities for nuclear weapons type of storage sites. And I would seek to show you in the few minutes that we have some of the buildup, at least as is supported by the photographic evidence at hand. If I may drop this one down, may I make one more remark, Mr. McCone? I forgot it. Mariel Air Port here, we have found something new, guided missile configured PT boats with two launchers on the aft end of each of these craft firing forward. This is an anti-shipping type of device. A total of 12 of these Comore class guided missile configured PT boats. You might drop these down. I would seek now to show you in briefest of terms here what these things look like, and starting first off with the most significant items, intermediate range ballistic missiles. This is the one, the IR-1 site over here. These are the pads. They're elongated, scraped out areas with control bunkers between each. The cables go from the control bunkers to the edges of the pads where there are small buildings on the inboard side. Another pair of pads over here with the control bunker between them and the cables going to the inboard sides. These are 750 feet apart.
Excision 1, 8 seconds excised.
Significantly, the axis of these long pads is on a bearing of 315, which brings you from this area straight up the middle part of the United States. Right at the eastern part of this particular area, I would cite for your attention a security-fenced arrangement where we think one of the possible nuclear storage sites exists. They're producing concrete in arches for mounting of structures, probably to go underground. We have one good-sized building, partially mounded already, 114 by 60 feet at this location here. The security fencing comes around on this side. Work is going on, lots of construction material and mobile gear in there. A good possibility right next to an IRBM launching site. So I might drop this one down. I would like to show you one of the... This is the second IRBM site. This first one was in the mid-stage of construction. This second one is slightly slower. You can see the long bearings to the scratches, three of them clearly here, the fourth one coming in. The control bunker between the two of them, and the bearing again, 315. The second site is 2.5 miles away from the first site. This is in an early stage of construction. The other one I showed you is in a mid-stage of construction. Next, if I might, Mr. President, I would seek to show an example of what the third IRBM site looks like, which was farther down the coast at a place called Remedios. This is, again, in an early stage of construction, but the launch pads are here and here and here and here, the control bunkers between each, the cables going out to each, and again, the bearing of the long axis, 315. Arch roof buildings going in close by, possibly additional storage, tents where Soviet-type troops live, vehicles, and another concrete batch plant to make the arches and construction materials to support this particular base. Coming on down to our next example, Mr. President, I would seek to show what one of the secured port installations looks like. In this instance, right on the coast, a little ways down from Mariel, we have found the only place in Cuba where we have double security fences in here. We have a deep water facing at this point where ocean-going freighters or ships can pull up alongside. This used to be a molasses factory. There are guard posts at the edge of the fence in this pit, which is 300 feet in diameter. At the base of the excavation are three structures, each of which is 90 by 20 feet. There are guard tents around here and additional mobile equipment, a strong suggestion as a possible nuclear storage site. I would like to show you an example or two of the medium range ballistic missile launching site. If you could get one for me, Ray. First off, while we're getting that out, I'd like to show you the MiG-21 buildup. This is shown here at the center at Santa Clara Airfield, which is 10,400 feet long. And here are 16 fish beds in this locale, 12 fish beds. 21s, 11 more over here, a total of 39, with some 15 MiG-15 17s as well. The field is well developed, and the craft are flying. We have seen some in operation taking off of the field during the course of our operation. We have also gathered information about the jet light bombers to which Mr. McCone referred. This is at the westernmost tip of the island at a place called San Julian. This field has been not used for over a year. It has been barricaded with rock piles stretching across. These have been cleared away, and at this edge of the tarmac, enlarged for your attention down here, are these crates, which are being unloaded. There are 17 crates in here, standing side by side, and four that have started to be unloaded, and one of the aircraft has come into full form, and it is indeed an IL-28 jet light bomber. We have several MRBM sites, which I think would be interesting to show you. This is MR3, which is one of the three at the western end of the island. These are slightly different than the ones we've shown you before. We have missile erectors, vehicles, buildings, missile erectors over in here, new buildings under construction, concrete arches. The whole place, in a few days, has seen the extension of military personnel, vehicles, and construction equipment, and leaves little doubt in our mind to the fact that this is what we feel conforms to the MRBM launching site. We have, in addition, enlarged for you at MR site number one at three different scales of enlargement, 10 times, 20 times, and 30 times, the missiles themselves. There are seven missiles lying side by side this trailer carrier here. I think you can see the missiles. They are cylindrical. They're approximately 65 feet long. They are blunt-ended because the canvas hangs over them, which implies that the conical shape, warhead, the nose cone, when put onto the front, would add another 6 or 7 feet to bring it up to some 72 feet, which conforms to the SS-4 Sandal, which is the 1,000-mile missile. We've seen this kind of missile carried through the streets of Moscow on the May Day parades. We have said, as Mr. McCone pointed out to you, something in the vicinity of 24 of these missiles lying around at separate of these MR bases to which we have referred. Here is a case down the point at MR2, a few miles away. Again, we have six missiles. They have canvas in some instances or netting stretched over the over the top of them and missile erectors beside them. These missiles are carried into position. The erector launches it directly at the point where the vehicle stops and is prepared to fire right then at that point. Little preparation, just hard ground, flat and clear. They wheel into position and they're ready to fire within 6 to 8 hours. We have dozens and dozens of other examples, but if I've made the point with you that the facts that have been drawn on this chart are backed up by photographic data, there's no doubt in our mind of our identification, I think I will have accomplished my point.
Any questions? What's the radius of the IL-28?
1,500 miles, sir.
That's
range, sir. Range, radius is 750.
Do they carry atomic weapons?
They certainly can.
And a bomb?
Yes, they carry an atomic bomb.
About
4,000 pounds.
Well, I understood there's some discussion about that intermediate missile. Some of our people think that missile will shoot 1,700 miles, don't they?
2,200, the IR, the intermediate
range. Well, the one you're talking about, 1,000, I thought the minimum that we put on that missile back when they were putting it in Russia was 1,100. And some people thought it was good, had a range of 1,700. The one that's wheeled up on the truck. On the
U.S. Intelligence Board rates it at 1,020 nautical miles.
Beg pardon?
1,020 nautical miles is what the general agreement.
Oh, that's nautical miles. That's
yes,
considered over 1,100 the stature miles. That's what
that's right.
This is the conceptual notion, if I may, Mr. Klein, point out how a trailer tractor arrangement pulls the missile on this trailer bed to the position of firing. It releases. The lines go from the front end of the missile over a winching relationship. It is powered and pulled up into its firing position, and the front end of the tractor trailer rolls off. This is the thing we've conceived of and drawn from what we've seen in the Moscow missile parade. This is the kind of missile which has been identified on the ground in Cuba.
Variety of intelligence sources, we have
put the Soviet guards to keep the Cubans out. We don't think there are very many Cubans on the place.
Mr. Cohn, one question. I'm sure you're monitoring this. Do you think they have their complex of electronics installed yet?
We do on the MRBMs, the more advanced.
We do, yeah. Well, they've ready to fire now.
Yeah.
That's true as to the ground surface to air site.
Related to this buildup. Of course, the concern has been that
five countries of Eastern Europe. We have had some impression over the past few months. They have been going through a reappraisal of policy, and we've had an impression of coming out of it with a toughness which was not as visible, say, a year ago. Indications from Peiping, for example, that they are somewhat more satisfied with Soviet policy than they were, things of that sort. I want to emphasize that this is the most major development from the Soviet point of view since the Berlin blockade of 1947-48. Why they choose to pursue such a reckless and hazardous course at this point is for speculation. This has both military and, of course, political ramifications. But I think we ought not, in any sense, to underestimate the gravity of this development in terms of what it means to the Soviet point of view. They are taking risks here, which are very heavy indeed. And risks which are very heavy indeed. I think there is real reason to think there's been quite a debate going on in the Soviet Union about the course of action. The peaceful coexistence theme was not getting them very far. Maybe it seems clear now that the hard-line boys have moved into the ascendancy. So one of the things that we have to be concerned about is not just the missiles, but the entire development of Soviet policy as it affects the situation right around the globe.
Mr. Secretary, do you see any other chances to get any better? They keep on establishing new bases in the Biden House.
No,
how can we gain by waiting?
I'm not suggesting that things are getting any better.
This, as I say, this information became available Tuesday morning. Mobile bases that can be moved very quickly, so we don't know. We assume we have all the ones that are there now, but the CIA thinks there may be a number of others that are there on the island that have not been set up, which can be set up quite quickly because of the mobility. Immediate range ballistic missile, of course, because of its nature, it would take a longer time. We'll be able to spot those. The others might be set up in the space of very few days. This is beginning Tuesday morning after we saw these first ones. We ordered intensive surveillance of the island. A number of U-2 flights until Wednesday and Thursday. I talked with to go up and brief General Eisenhower on Wednesday. We decided, Vice President and I, to continue our travels around the country in order not to alert this until we had gotten all the available information we could. The last information came in on that Sunday morning, giving us this last site, which we mentioned. We were presented with a very, very difficult problem because of Berlin, as well as other reasons, but mostly because of Berlin. This is rather has many advantages from Khrushchev's point of view. It takes a great chance, but there's quite some rewards to it. If we move into Cuba, this is the difficulty I think we face. If we invade Cuba, we have a chance that these missiles will be fired on us. In addition, Khrushchev will seize Berlin, and that Europe will regard Berlin's loss, which is of such symbolic importance to Berlin as having been the fall of the United States, by acting in a precipitous way. After all, they're 5,000 or 6,000 miles from Cuba, and much closer to the Soviet Union, so these missiles don't bother them, and they should think it should not bother us. So that whatever we do in regard to Cuba gives him a chance to do the same in regard to Berlin. On the other hand, to not do anything would argue that these missile bases really extend only what we've had to live under for a number of years from submarines, which are getting more and more intense, from the Soviet intercontinental ballistic missile system, which is in a rapid buildup and has a good deal of destruction, which it can bring on us as well as their bombers, that this adds to our hazard but does not create a new military hazard. And that we should keep our eye on the main site, which would be Berlin. Our feeling, however, is that that would be a mistake, so that beginning tonight, we're going to blockade Cuba, carrying out under the Hope Rio Treaty. We call for a meeting of the Rio PAC countries, and blockade that will be announced will be for the movement of weapons into Cuba. So we don't know what the block ship will do. In order not to give Mr. Khrushchev a justification for imposing a complete blockade on Berlin, we're going to stop with a blockade on the shipment of offensive weapons into Cuba, but stop all ships. Now, we don't know what the block ships will do. We assume that they will probably, we don't know what whether they'll try to send one through, make us fire on it, and use that as a justification on Berlin, or whether you'll have them all turned back. In any case, we're going to start on offensive weapons. We will then consider extending it as the days go on to other petroleum, oil, lubricants, and other matters except food and medicine. These are matters we reach a judgment on as the days go on. Now, in the meanwhile, we are making a military preparations in regards to Cuba so that if the situation deteriorates further, we will have the flexibility, though the invasion is the only way to get rid of these weapons is the other way to get rid of them is they'll fire them, so that it's going to just have to, it seems to be, watch the great cave. As I say, if we invade Cuba, there's a chance these weapons can be fired at the United States. If we attempt to strike them from the air, we will not get them all because they're mobile. And we don't know where the sites are, there's much to destroy the site. And the movement set them up in another 3 days someplace else. So that we have not got a very easy situation, but as the choice between doing nothing, we felt that that would imperil Berlin rather than help it and imperil Latin America. So after a good deal of surging, we decided this was the place to start. Now, we don't know what their response will be. We've got two, three, four problems. One will be, as we continue to surveil them, they shoot down one of our planes. We'll then have the problem of taking action against part of Cuba. And so I think that I'm going to ask Secretary McNamara to detail what we're doing militarily. If there's any strong disagreement with what at least we've set out to do, I want to hear it. Otherwise, I think what we ought to do is try to keep in very close contact, and before anything that is done of a major kind differently, and it may have to be done in the next 24 or 40 hours, because I assume the Soviet response will be very strong, then we'll all have to meet again. Needless to say, the Vice President and I are included in our campaign.
Mr. President, do I understand that you have decided you will announce tonight the blockade?
That's correct. The quarantine, that's right.
Mr. President, may I add one point to what you just said on these matters? We do think this first step provides a brief pause for the people on the other side to have another thought before we get into an utterly crashing crisis, because the prospects that are ahead of us at this moment are very serious. Now, if the Soviets have underestimated what the United States is likely to do here, then they've got to consider whether they revise their judgment quick and fast. The same thing with respect to the Cubans. Quite apart from the OAS and the UN aspects of it, a brief pause here is very important in order to give Soviets a chance to pull back from the brink here. But I do want to say, Mr. President, I think the prospects here for a rapid development of this situation could be a very great matter indeed.
Mr. President, I could not stay silent under these circumstances and live with myself. I think that our responsibility to our people demands on the steps in that in view of this bill up there. I must say that in all honesty to myself. I don't see how we're going to get any stronger or get in any better position to meet this threat. Seeing me as we're at the crossroads, we're either first-class power or we're not. You have warned these people time and again in the most eloquent speeches I've read to Woodrow Wilson. What would happen if there was defensive capability created in Cuba? They can't say they're not on notice. The Secretary of State says that give them time to pause and think, and use that time to pause and think to get better prepared. And if we temporize with this situation, I don't see how we can ever hope to find a place where we have a complete justification for
steps necessary to see that certain things we should transit, for example, they can stop transit through the windward passage, and leeward passage easily with these vessels and with these ships. They can blow Guantanamo off the map. And you have told them not to do this thing. They've done it. And I think that you should assemble as speedily as possible an adequate force and clean out that situation. The time's going to come, Mr. President. We don't have to take this gamble. Leave Berlin and Korea and Washington, D.C. and Wyoming, Georgia for the nuclear war. I don't know whether Khrushchev will launch a nuclear war with Cuba or not. I don't believe he will. But I think that the more that we temporize, the more surely he is to convince himself that we are threatened to make any real movement and to really fight. And,
well, perhaps, Mr. Senator, if you could just hear Secretary McNamara's what we're doing, then we could...
Pardon me, you just said if anybody disagrees, and I couldn't sit here.
I understand. Let me just say what we're doing, and then we can have a round table. The President has asked that we initiate a quarantine. We are redeploying our vessels into position to start those operations. They'll become effective as promptly as the initial political moves are completed sometime tomorrow or the next day. Our orders are to hail the incoming vessels, both Soviet and non-Soviet, surface and submerged, to stop them, to search them, to divert those carrying designated goods, offensive weapons initially, to ports of their choosing. If they refuse to stop, to disable them, and then to take them in as prizes. This operation obviously is going to lead to the application of military force. It's entirely probable that the first Soviet ship hailed will attempt to penetrate the quarantine, in which case Admiral Denison has orders to disable the ship, reducing the damage to the minimum for that purpose, but sinking it if necessary.
Mr. Secretary, may I just interrupt to ask if taking the ship into custody, would that include the seizure and the destruction of offensive weapons found on board the ship, or would the weapons on board the ship accompany the ship into quarantine?
It depends on the character of the weapon. If there's any danger associated with moving the weapon into a prize port, it would be destroyed at sea. During this period, we will provide air cover over the sea lanes used by U.S. merchant ships in and around Cuba. It's entirely possible that during this period, the MiGs 15, 17s, and 19s, which weren't discussed today, but of which there are substantial numbers in Cuba, or the MiG 21s, will attack certain U.S. merchant ships. Admiral Denison has been instructed to provide cover to our ships in the event attacks take place to destroy the attacking airport. Further, we will continue air surveillance over the island of Cuba. As Mr. McCone pointed out, approximately 22 of the 24 surface-to-air missile sites appear to be operational. They have launched aircraft by direction of those sites against the U-2s in the last two or three days. None have successfully conducted an attack on the U-2s. Undoubtedly, a successful attack will take place in the future. When that does, our aircraft are instructed to attack the attacking aircraft and destroy them. We've redeployed our air defense forces within this country to better protect the southeastern coast of the country. We have reinforced Guantanamo with several additional units of Marines. About 7,000 additional men have been placed in there in the last several days. We have today evacuated the dependents from Guantanamo. We have placed SAC on a 1/8 airborne alert starting this morning. That will be completed, and we will have 1/8 of SAC on an airborne alert 24 hours a day within about 28 hours from early this morning. We have been asked by the President to be prepared for any eventuality, and for that purpose we are moving troops and aircraft to positions from which further deployments can be made in the future. Mr. President, that summarizes the moves we've made.
Mr. President, I don't want to make a nuisance myself, but I do would like to complete my statement. My position is these people have been warned. They've had all the warning they could expect, and they're here. And the Secretary of State speaks about the pause. When you impose this blockade, Khrushchev's ever said up to now that he would fight over Cuba. He's going to start rattling his missiles and making firmer and firmer and firmer statements about what he's going to do about Cuba. And you will only make it sure that when that day comes, when if they do, we'll use these MiGs to attack our shipping or to drop a few bombs around Miami or some other place, and we do go in there, that we'll lose a great many more men than we would right now. And
but Senator, we can't invade Cuba. Versus, it takes us some while to assemble our force to invade Cuba. That's one of the problems we've got. We haven't wanted to surface the movement of troops beyond what has been surfaced in the last 48 hours. But we have to bring some troops from the West Coast and to assemble the force, which would give us the 90,000 odd men who might participate in invasion, takes some days. That's why I wanted Secretary McNamara. We are now assembling that force. But it is not in a position to invade Cuba in the next 24 or 48 hours. Now, I think it may very well come to that before the end of the week, but we are moving all the forces that we have that would be necessary for an invasion to the area around Cuba as quickly as we possibly can.
I think if it were a fait accompli, we'd much nearer escape an all-out war with Russia.
But we don't have the forces to seize Cuba.
Well, we can assemble them.
Well, that's what we're doing now.
How long?
Well, Secretary McNamara can do it. As I say, we just don't have forces.
This blockade is going to put them on the left. It's going to get the Russians. Khrushchev will be making incendiary statements.
Exactly.
And he'll get worse every way he goes. And he'll make it more and more sure that when we are forced to take action in Cuba, that we will still have to further divide our forces. Every point around the whole periphery of the free world.
Well, Senator, perhaps Secretary, yeah. I can describe what our military problem is, and we can see.
Well, I just want to reminisce just a little bit. We were here, Dick. We were told by somebody in the Pentagon sitting right over there, take us 3 months to take you. Am I right about that?
Bombing sorties must take place prior to the invasion. There are
you see from your position in the Pentagon where we're getting better prepared military vis-a-vis the Soviet forces by delaying and waiting, putting this thing off till next year? I mean, you put these tired old B-49 and 7s on B-49s and whatever they are.
47s.
47s. All of them get worn out. Now, you put them on 24-hour length, and that's both of our forces, bombing forces. That's 3/4 of the number. Over 2 days. You have them all worn out, and we won't have anything in there. And you just can't depend on these missiles. Our missiles, our intermediate missiles won't.
Mr. Chairman,
you base time running in our favor.
I do. In this instance,
what do you base that on?
The B-47s and B-52s, we prepared for airborne alert by procuring, as you know, the additional spares necessary to support an airborne alert. I have no doubt whatsoever that we can maintain an airborne alert indefinitely without degrading our force, and this opinion is shared by General LeMay. I have no question but what, with a blockade, we can not only stop, but eventually stop the buildup, but also attrit the Cuban force. And we can do this as the President directs. Moreover, we must have a 7-day period of preparation for an invasion.
When you first got these notifications of all of
first notification came in Tuesday, and there's been intensive review during the entire week of that. The Tuesday reports were far from conclusive, and it wasn't until Sunday morning that the information came in that led to the report Mr. McCollum mentioned today. Nor has it been possible during this week to carry out more than 1 to 2 days worth of the 7-day preparation without breaking the whole story. It's been really remarkable that we've been able to do as much as we have without more speculation in the press.
Mr. Secretary, does the Joint Chief of Staff approve of all your plans with reference to the invasion if it gets us?
Yes, sir. The President ordered us to prepare for invasion of Cuba months ago. I think it was, Mr. President, perhaps you recall better than I, but I believe it was November of last year. We have developed plans in great detail. We've developed a series of alternative plans, several of them. We've reviewed them with the President over the past 10 months on 5 different occasions. We're well prepared for an invasion, as well prepared as we could possibly be facing the situation we do. I think it's quite remarkable, startling so as a matter of fact, that we can consider an invasion with 7 days preparation. No invasion of this size that any of my military staff can recall has ever been prepared with no more than a 7-day lead time.
Did this have approval of the National Security Council?
The plan, yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Were they unanimous?
We met yesterday.
Good.
Let me just say, Senator, I understand your there's 2 or 3 points. In the first place, in order to invade Cuba, we have to have this build-up of forces. One of the reasons why we've been concerned this week is we wanted to know all the sites, we wanted to know the firing position of these missiles. If we go into Cuba, we have to all realize that we are taking the chance that these missiles which are ready to fire won't be fired. So that's a big gamble we should take. In any case, we're preparing to take it. And I think that is one hell of a gamble, but I think it's but we're going to have to assume that when we finally decide whether we're going to do it, I'm going to have everybody in this room in here with us, but we all have to decide this together. But that's going to have to be the judgment. In the meanwhile, we are going to move all the available forces that we have to be in a position to carry out this invasion as quickly as we possibly can. But the key question is going to be, and we all ought to be thinking about it in the next 48 hours, is 2 or 3 key questions. In the first place, if the Russians, as a response, we just have this report 5/15.
2:09 excised.
Soviets expect to call a Security Council meeting for the 23rd or 4th of October. They expect the President to announce tonight a blockade of Cuba.
Excision 3. 1 second excised.
They do not expect this blockade to include
conversation. That's a great world power. And the general may have sat right here the last time.